Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, let's jump on it here. I saw Zach yesterday, one of the best speeches. I've laughed my ass off listening to Kelce, Jason Kelce, one of the best parade speeches I have
Not
ever heard.
Not one of the best, the best.
Mike Flora from Pro Football Talk joins us. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing great. By the way, before we get to the speech, the National Football League really needed some good news. That is the best game from start to finish, Mike, I can remember. You've seen a bunch of them. I thought the league really needed something that was fun to watch like that. That was great.
Well, as I said on the NBCSN postgame show following the game, I went to the Super Bowl and an Arena Football League game broke out. But it wasn't quite as bad as Arena Football, where there's a presumption that you're going to score on every drive. There still was a sense that every yard was earned, every play was executed right to perfection. And these are the kinds of games the NFL needs more often. We're reminded in the Super Bowl. I mean, it used to be that the Super Bowl stunk. Now we get these great games in the Super Bowl, and it tells us what regular season games could be, the games we expect to be big games, exciting games. They fail to deliver, and I think the NFL would not have a ratings problem if more games in the regular season were like the game that we saw on Sunday night. Most yards ever gained by both teams in the history of the NFL in any one game, not just Super Bowl, any game, 1,151.
You think it's good for the NFL that Philly won and not New England again?
Oh, yeah.
Well, look, I think anytime you can create a sense that anything can happen going into a season, that's good for the NFL. The vision that Pete Rozelle had back in the 70s was an NFL where everybody had a chance. It wasn't just a handful of teams. Now, I think the NFL would have preferred Eagles-Jaguars from the standpoint of long-term interest of creating that sense that any year can be our year. You want every fan of every team to have plausible hope going into the season. And, you know, there's always a team or two that's like, that team's got no chance. You want to think that every team has a chance, a real chance, to get to the playoffs, and you want every team that gets to the playoffs to think it has a real chance of climbing all the way to the top of the mountain.
Jason Kelce's parade speech, what he said about guys couldn't catch the ball, one guy can't stay clean off steroids.
Mike Lombardi.
I laughed my ass off. I thought that was one of the greatest speeches I can ever remember where I laughed. Like, the guy just, what a great entertainment 2 minutes that was.
And to top it all off, he looked like the guy who's at the gates of the city of Oz to determine whether or not Dorothy and her entourage get in. It was great. But yeah, it was spectacular. I think maybe some of the beverages he was consuming on the parade route were a factor. Mm. But I thought it was great. And what a moment for Philadelphia. What a bookend to the draft that they hosted back in April, when there were 70,000. And even though they were expecting multiple million, I had a feeling it wasn't going to get to there. 700,000, still an impressive showing for the Eagles parade. And now they go back to square one and they try to do it again. Doug Peterson, the coach of the team, told the players this is the new normal.
What happens to Nick Foles? Is he going to be an Eagle next year?
Well, I think the Eagles just sit and wait for an offer they can't refuse. You know, because you let him be the backup to Carson Wentz. Unless they feel some sort of a moral obligation to give him an opportunity to go somewhere else and be the starter. And now that John DeFilippo, the Eagles quarterbacks coach, is going to become the offensive coordinator of the Vikings, maybe there's something there. Although I don't think the Vikings want to get fleeced by the Eagles again like they did 2 years ago with the Sam Bradford trade. But they may feel like they owe it to Nick Foles and they can go find another backup to Carson Wentz. But I think you need to have a competent backup to a guy who plays with a very physical style. And he said he's not going to change the way he plays despite tearing his ACL. So I think you need him. You squat on him. You wait for somebody to make an offer that you can't refuse. And that may come during free agency. It may come before the draft. It may come after the draft. It may come when there's another quarterback injury at some point in training camp, preseason or regular season.
Mike, I want to see if you got the same take on Jimmy Garoppolo's contract that I have. My feeling when I saw that contract, that the rest of the NFL was half pissed off at San Francisco going, what are you doing? If a guy that's got a handful of starts is worth that kind of money, can you imagine what I got to pay my guy now? Do you think that was a take?
No, I don't think so, because I think the reality is the contract is driven by leverage. And for the 49ers, they had three choices. Sign him now before you have to make a decision on which tag to use, transition tag, exclusive right. franchise tag, or non-exclusive. Tag him and maybe go year to year like you had to do with Kirk Cousins. Tag him and then do a long-term deal based on the value of the tag. And I personally think Garoppolo should have waited to be tagged. I think there's value to the player over the course of his career in being tagged, because once you're tagged twice, you have a hell of a hammer. Because if anybody wants to tag you a third time in your career, it's a 44% increase over your cap number from the prior year. That's the ultimate leverage. So I think any player who's in position to get tagged should force that tag. Now, maybe they offered Garoppolo a little bit more money to take the deal now. Maybe they bluffed him into thinking the money's going to go down if he doesn't take it. And the guy's never gotten paid. So he's more likely to blink and say, I'll take it. I'm not going to play games with this, because this is life-changing money I never thought I was going to get. He was a second-round pick. But I think teams understand that his leverage, you know, the ultimate is you don't tag him and the market determines his value. Well, somebody on the open market was going to pay him $27.5 million a year. So the team that traded for him last year may as well have been the ones to do it. So I don't think other teams are going to be upset by this. It's only a $500,000 increase in the current high water mark, and we know that's not going to last long. It's going to be Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. Somebody's going to surpass that sooner rather than later.
Mike, tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Boston Herald. I just saw Ben Volen a couple minutes ago tweet something that WEEI is out for blood. Now I see, and I just refreshed, and I saw the Michael David Smith article on ProFootballTalk.com about the Herald. What the hell's going on with the fake Brady's agent? What happened?
Well, I wake up this morning to get ready for my show on NBC Sports Radio, PFT Live, and one of my guys, Curtis Crabtree, who does the overnight shift, he said, hey, here's this story from Ron Borges. I don't know what to do with it. And I looked at it. I was like, well, Ron Borges is putting his name on it. He's saying Tom Brady is going to sit out organized team activities unless he gets a contract that pays him upfront money similar to what Garoppolo got. It's like, well, Borges put his name on it. The Herald published it. Let's go with it. And then next thing I know, WEEI says it was a caller to the Kirk and Callahan show that duped Ron Borges. And here's the thing.
Ooh.
Borges accidentally tweeted out his phone number last year, right?
Ooh.
So you get a text out of the blue. Hi, this is Don Yee. Don't you call him?
Yes.
Right? Don, how are you? I don't think this is Don. Right? So and it shows a level of sloppiness. It shows a lack of curiosity. I mean, you've got Don Yee communicating with you. Don, I got a lot of questions. How much did Jimmy Garoppolo get as a signing bonus? How much is fully guaranteed at signing? There's a lot of information you can press him for. And when he tells you upfront money similar to Garoppolo, that's what Brady wants. If you have any degree of curiosity whatsoever, and if you have any understanding of the business, your question is, what the hell is upfront money? What do you mean? Are you talking about signing bonus? Are you talking about right. cash payouts over the first 3 years? Are you talking about full guarantee at signing? Because even though Tom Brady consistently does deals for less than he's worth, he always gets great upfront money. $28 million to sign in his last below-market deal. $30 million to sign in the below-market deal he did a few years before that. He's going to get good upfront money. I mean, the irony of this is, even though it was a fake source, a made-up tweet, and Borges fell for it, and now the story has been taken down by the Boston Herald, chances are Brady is going to get exactly what Borges claims he's looking for.
Yeah, MVP, my God, the GOAT, the whole deal. I'm with you
on that. And that's the genius of the lie, because it does kind of mesh with the broader circumstances
right.
that Brady does need to get paid. He's due to make $14 million this year. Yeah, he's not going to be playing for $14
million. No.
But the thing is, his leverage isn't to say, I'm not showing up for OTAs. His leverage is to say, I'm out. I'm done. See you later. Have fun with Brian Hoyer. I'm retiring.
By the way, we could do about an hour with you on the New England Patriots, because I wanted to ask you about this Malcolm Butler thing. Do you believe Belichick is covering something else that happened? Something else had to happen that he couldn't get on the field.
Another coach told me this, and this is a good point. It had to be disciplinary, because he wouldn't have been taking reps in practice if it's not disciplinary. You don't get him ready to play if it's not something that happened late in the process. And you know, Belichick drops the news on everyone a couple hours before kickoff, which has to be a distraction and a disruption. And then when the guys that are out there aren't getting it done, at some point, don't you go with Malcolm Butler? Don't you say, okay, Malcolm, well, you know, I'm not real thrilled with whatever it is that you did, but go out there and try to save us. And Tom Curran, who covers the Patriots for NBC Sports Boston, he said plain and simple that that decision to not use Butler cost the Patriots Super Bowl 52.
Ooh, wow, boy. Hey, how about the Josh McDaniel story? I was so glad
to see Tony
Dungy come out and blast. You know, Tony Dungy, pretty good guy, to let Josh McDaniels have it for what he did and leaving his assistant coaches high and dry who thought they had jobs.
Well, I agree with that part of it because you have three assistants who signed contracts assuming that Josh McDaniels was going to. And I think the lesson for any other coach out there, the moment of clarity doesn't come when you're holding the pen and getting ready to sign. For you personally and how it affects you, that's when the moment of clarity comes. But you need to have that notion that we're crossing the Rubicon, that this is it, that we can't go back when other people start to rely on your word, and you have to honor your word. And I think there's probably a lot to this story that we don't know and may never know. But, yeah, I feel bad for those assistant coaches. And the one thing that bothers me the most about this, apart from the fact that Josh McDaniels left the Colts at the altar, the agent throwing Josh McDaniels under the bus, the agent was a big part of this. The agent represents represented past tense McDaniels, because the agent fired McDaniels before McDaniels could fire him. The agent represented McDaniels and represents Chris Ballard, the GM. It's on the agent to land the plane. It's on the agent to know his client. It's on the agent to tell his other client, maybe you shouldn't announce this deal until we get the signature on paper, because I know Josh, and there's always a chance Josh is going to change his mind.
He's
right?
A little flaky.
Yeah. You know that?
Yeah, I agree. That's a good point.
Got Michael David Smith just posted the follow-up on the Boston Herald story, and the guy was Nick in Boston, a WEI caller who just called in, I guess, this morning and said he saw Borges' number on Twitter, texted him the message, didn't think he would go with it. He bought it, and the guy tried to call. Borges tried to call this guy a couple times, didn't answer. And then Nick in Boston called him back and said, hey, Ronnie, it's Don. Gave him the story again. He ran with it. This guy, Borges, is never getting a job again.
So he did talk to him.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Michael David Smith just posted literally as we were on the air, and he said, I'm just going to call him, and he's going to know it's not Don Yee. But I called him, and I said, hey, Ronnie, it's Don. And then he ran with the story. Guy, Borges, is never getting a job again.
Well, but you know what? He already left the Boston Globe 11 years ago for plagiarism.
Oh.
And I found that story on the Boston Herald website. They hired him. This guy's got a Hall of Fame vote. Look, sloppiness, laziness, and a lack of instincts above all else. You know, when I went to law school, one of the first things they taught me is you need to have a good bullcrap filter, although they didn't say bullcrap. And that's you gotta have a sense when somebody's pulling a fast one. And I don't think old Ronnie had a sense of what was happening.
Hey, Ronnie, it's Don.
Hey, Ronnie, it's Don.
Mike, thank you, buddy. Great having you. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, see you guys. Have a great
weekend. Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com.
How about that story?
That, Zach, you can't beat that one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.